The word that I have for you tonight is, it's God's will that you work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would teach us and instruct us, that we may conform our lives by your word and by your spirit more and more to your will, that we may bring honor and glory to you. In Christ we pray. Amen. It is God's will that we be workers. It is our sinfulness that encourages us to acquire things the easy way. For example, there are obviously noted exceptions about what I'm about to say as a generalization, but you rarely have to train a child to be lazy. You must train a child to be industrious. We tend to put off and to cut corners. And even our own government, with its regulation of, say, like the housing industry in terms of building houses. Why were there regulations in the first place? Because somebody tried to build a cheap house and to maximize their profit. I had a friend who was buying a house in a place called Sky Park in Scotts Valley, California. And a man in our church worked for a particular city's permit board and go out and inspect the houses and stuff. And so this man in our church asked this other man in our church, "I'm buying this house. Would you come out and just kind of eyeball it for me and tell me what you think?" So he walked through the house and he came out and says, "Do you really want to know?" He says, "Yes." He says, "There are so many violations going on here that this house is really illegal." And it was an irreparable builder, or so-called. It's God's will that we would work. It's God's will that we would be producers. It is God's will that we would work, because even before the fall, Adam was to work and to guard and subdue the earth. And it is God's will that we, in our working, gain what is necessary for our lives. In any form of cutting corners and living an easier life, I don't mean if you've been successful, live an easy life. I mean like not being a worker, not being a producer, is a form of stealing. You're stealing from others. You say, "Well, maybe I just want to live like a really simple life. I want to have a shack in the woods." Well, I guess you have the freedom to do that, and that in itself is not stealing if you want to have a low standard of living. But most people don't want a low standard of living. They want a high standard of living with a little effort. There are three ways, biblically, that you may obtain wealth that you do not have. You may obtain wealth through inheritance. The Bible has a high view of receiving gifts from one generation to another. Although I find it interesting that our country is making it very difficult to pass on the fruits of one man's labor to his children. Secondly, we can obtain things, wealth, through gifts. People give gifts to others to be a blessing and an encouragement, and that's totally legitimate. Or they may give gifts just to help in a pinch or a need. Or thirdly, we can obtain legitimate wealth through hard work, industrious labor. The Bible is a very practical view of this. The reason why we had Deuteronomy read was because what was going on there was called an abominable thing to the Lord. And in that society, they carried around weights. So you went to buy something and you wanted a pound of wheat. it's going to cost you so much money, and they would put the scales out. And they would do so in such a way as to weigh this, make, have a heavy weight or having a light weight based upon what they thought they could get away giving somebody. So I might try to extract from one person more money than from somebody else. But I'm not doing so in a fair and honest way. That's stealing. And it's an abomination to the Lord. In other words, anyone who tries to gain money, gain wealth, through trickery, through deception, or from swindling or cheating, is stealing, plain and simple. But you say, well, that's obvious. But let's think about some other things. How about the lottery? How about whether it be the big state lottery or the blue-haired old lady's cookie lottery, where you all give a dollar on the promise that if you give a dollar, you could win a new computer or you could win a trip to the Bahamas. It's another way of stealing. Because what you're doing is you're taking from people something you've neither earned nor deserved. It's a fundamentally a fraud, as one writer put it, because it promotes a sinful greed in the hearts of people. To have more than what we've earned, to have more than what we have labored for, to try to get something on the cheap. Not saying that thrifty is wrong, but trying to get something for nothing or for little. In the passage in 2 Thessalonians, there were some Christians who were willing to live off the generosity of the body. But notice he says in verse 6 that we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition that you received from us. The unruly or disorderly or undisciplined life is contrary to the will of God. For example, this morning when we had read for us Proverbs 31, a godly woman does not eat the bread of idleness. An interesting statement. She does not eat the bread of idleness. It's not God's will for you or I to be idle, but to be workers, to be producers. Even the fourth commandment tells us that 6 days you shall work, but the seventh is a Sabbath rest unto the Lord. For to be producers, it doesn't mean you have to be employed 6 days. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that there's 6 days of your life. You are to be thinking about how am I a producer. You may work 6 days and have the Sabbath off. You may work 5 days and have a day to have a second job or to work around the house. God didn't say you had to be employed 6 days, but that our lives are to be lives of production. And in producing, we are to do two things. Have enough for our own needs and enough for the care of others. For example, the Apostle Paul says over in Ephesians, to those who would be similar to the ones he's addressing in 2 Thessalonians, he says in Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer. And when you read that, you just assume he's a klepto, right? It could be just a lazy guy. Could be a guy who's trying to use false weights. Could be a guy who's trying to gain more than what he's actually working. Let him who steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that two things. He will have, so he'll have something, or well, two things apply. One is that he'll have his own needs met, and two, that he will be able to share with someone who has need. That's what we're to do. That's what Adam was doing essentially in the garden. He was subduing the earth. Why? In order to be profitable, to be able to supply the needs for others and for his own family. So in 2 Thessalonians, we are to, by command and by tradition, we are to keep away from, we are to avoid, if you will, every brother who leads an unruly life or undisciplined life. And he offers up himself as an example. According to 1 Corinthians 9, the Lord Jesus Christ himself had given the apostles the right to make money off of preaching the gospel. And he, and Paul refers to even having that right here in verse 9. But rather than that, he chose to be a worker. He says, in verse 7, you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. The Apostle Paul's pattern was to work all morning to be able to provide for himself and then teach in the afternoon and in the evening. And he says, we did this as an example for the rest of the church, that you would understand what godliness looks like. It works hard and it produces. Verse 10, he says, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. We would give you this order. We would command this. We would give this instruction. Not a suggestion. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. When the pilgrims first landed in America, they were socialists, or they attempted a socialistic system. They did attempt a socialistic idea that everyone would work and there'd be just a common pot. At the end of the year, they get money, or they get the fruit and the vegetables out of the common pot. But that produced people who wouldn't work hard. Why would I work hard if I'm going to get the same amount of food, whether I work hard or not? And for the first several years of Plymouth Plantation, they were starving. They did not have enough. And finally, the leadership decided to divide up the land in equal portions, and every man got to keep whatever he wanted. Now I'm only going to get that which I work for. And they prospered. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. That in the body of Christ, there are going to be rich people and there are going to be poor people. But there should always be producing people. And those who produce more have the right and the freedom and the opportunity to give to those who do not. In God's providence, some are prospered more than others. There are people who work really hard who get very little. And there's people who work hard and they gain much. In fact, the vast majority of businesses, small businesses that start, fail. Now, we can say some of the businesses, I think 3 out of 5 small businesses that start end up in failure within the first several years. Some of them by mismanagement. Some of them by laziness. But some of them are working dog hard to try to make it go, and they still fail. While another person works just as hard, and he succeeds. God's providence is not equally distributed. So we are to work. And we need to understand that in the body of Christ, whether it be as exampled by the pilgrims, or whether it be the Apostle Paul here in Thessalonica, or ourselves, that is God's will, if someone's not willing to work, then they don't get food. They can't come and share off the common pot. He says in verse 11, "For we hear that there's some among you who are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." They were very engaged. They're part of the body of Christ. They're going from house to house, but they're not working. And Paul says they are to avoid such one. He says in verse 12, "Such persons I command, we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey in this instruction, this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame." It would seem to me that we live in a day and age in which this has become a chronic problem in the church, but also in our country. The whole issue of the 99 percenters, and now there's the 53 percenters that are out there and the so-called 1 percenters. But what has our country become more and more of? The issue is that the government's responsible to take care of me, pay my tuition, pay me if I can't get a job or I lose my job, pay for my health care, pay for my retirement. And that's not a biblical perspective. Biblical perspective is that we are to work and we are to provide for ourselves and for others. And to develop a life and a perspective that says that my provision should come not from my hard work, but from other people's hard work, is unbiblical and is a form of stealing. There's a sense in which our tax system in America has become a legalized thievery. And when all the debates are going on, whether it be in the Democrat or the Republican Party, about modifying the tax system, or that we need to make sure that we have something for the poor, understand what they've adopted is a system that is teaching people that laziness and lack of productivity can and will be rewarded. But that's not just out there, it's inside the church. We are to work. We are to work and be producers, but we must also guard our hearts, because the heart of all thievery is a sense of greed, to want more, to desire more than what God has in his providence provided. As I said earlier, sometimes God prospers one man more than another who have equally worked hard for what they have. If we believe that God is providential over everything in life and nothing comes to us by chance, then the man who has prospered well ought to give thanks to the Lord, and the man who has prospered little ought to give thanks to the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share." But when the rich man is being generous and ready to share, the poor are not to become greedy and want more. They are to work hard. And so in the back of the side of every act of thievery is the sinful heart that wants more. It's not content with what God has provided. And what we have a problem with, and it's rampant in our society, is that we all want to live the American dream, but we haven't necessarily wanted to work for that. We want it guaranteed. And that has produced a lack of confidence in God's providence. If God supplies for us a certain standard of living, then we ought to be content at that certain standard of living. If we want to move up and have a higher standard of living, you can pray about that and you can work at that. You can take a second job or work harder at your present job or whatever you want and have a higher standard of living. But the bottom line is, you've got to always ask yourself, what am I trying to do here? Am I not content with what God has provided? Am I trying to get more than what I've actually put in for? Am I trying to swindle others? Am I cheating them? Am I trying to get rich quick? Is there greed in my heart? Greed will desire that getting rich quick idea. Oh, I'll gladly give the blue-haired old lady's cookie club my $10 so that I might get 100 back or 1,000 back. I just give a dollar to Powerball. I could win 3 million. It's free money, isn't it? No, you just took a lot of other money. You took $3 million from other people. Oh, but doesn't it go to feed the poor and to support our schools? Oh yeah, a certain percentage of it does. Maybe, sort of, sometimes. Isn't it interesting that the increase of lotteries have not increased the amount of money that actually goes to schools? I mean, how many school systems have said, we don't need any more lotteries, we already have all the money we need? How many road systems say, we don't need any more lotteries, the roads are nice enough? The money rarely gets to where it was promised, and when it gets there, it's never enough. And so when we come to this commandment, we come to understand that it's God's will for us to work and to be producers. How so? Because He ordained work in the garden. He ordained us to be producers before the fall. After the fall, all that changed was now it was going to be harder to actually produce. In our production, we are to produce for ourselves what we need, and always enough more to care for those who are in need, and that we might be generous people. Because what have we earned and what have we gained that hasn't ultimately been a gift from the Lord anyway? The Old Testament says that God gives us the ability to make money. So even if we've prospered well, we've only received from the hand a generous and benevolent providence. And we are to guard our hearts from trying to get from other people that which we've never earned or deserved. We must learn to be content in all that we have. And we must learn to always be content with God's providences. But let me give you another way in which we steal. We also steal when we promise more than what we're willing to give. When you go to work for an employer, he says, I want 40 hours, and you work 39, you're stealing. He says, I need this amount of effort, and you give less, you're stealing. When you are married, and you promise to love, to cherish, in good times and bad, for richer or poorer, for better or for worse, in sickness and health, and you don't, you're stealing. You can steal as a child, robbing his or her parents of the honor that God has commanded you give them. But all of that is ultimately goes back to this greedy, dissatisfied heart. So whether it be in finances or in personal relationships, there's a connection there why we need to guard our hearts. I'm not content with my station in life, so I'm willing to steal a little bit to try to get a little bit more, not legitimately, but illegitimately, easy, quick hit. My relationships. Yes, when I married my wife, I really meant I would love you to rich or poor, better or for worse, sickness and health. But things have changed. No. If my wife was like this, then I would. Or if my husband was like that, then I would. No. You entered into a vow. Solomon says it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So we are to work. We are to work hard. Work is part of the created realm. We work in order to have what we need, We work and be able to give to others. Behind all of stealing is this greed, is an evil heart that wants something for nothing, wants the quick fix, or is dissatisfied with God's providences. And what's true in the material world will become true in the relational world, or vice versa. And so when Moses writes in Deuteronomy 25 that we had read for us, it shows it. It comes right down to very practical how you do household balancing acts of the exchange of basic wheat and other food goods with scales. It's that simple. We tend to think of thieves as the people out there who hold up banks, when each and every one of us is already stolen. And that we have not worked hard, or we have stolen the honor of others, or we have stolen the glory that God deserves. Those are all acts of thievery. But in the house of God, we need to learn to be workers. We need to say that yes, some people are prospered and others are not in exactly the same way, but is the guy or gal working? Are they making every effort they can? If not, then they need to be exhorted. We should not be looking for even legalized ways of taking things from other people that are not ours. We are to take responsibility for our life and then look for ways to give, not to get. To provide, not to be provided for. And we need to learn to be able to do that in the context of being content with whatever station God has placed us in. Again, being content doesn't mean there isn't a legitimate desire to work hard and to move up the standard of living. It's okay to do that. But always out of your own hard work and legitimate efforts. And so the commandment not to steal is not just don't knock off the local stop and go. It means to learn that our hearts need to be pleased to do what God has created us to do and to be. Workers, producers, in whatever arena God has helped us and gifted us and given us to do that. And if we don't know how to do that, then we need to seek out the help of others who can instruct us in those things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who does prosper his people. And we thank you that you have provided for us work, dignity, and that work isn't bad, work isn't wrong, work isn't part of the fall, but work is a gift that brings meaning and purpose in life, and you have attached temporal blessings to much hard work. Lord, we confess that our hearts are sinful and we are quick to be filled with hearts of greed, desiring to get rich quick and to get more than what we've earned or deserved. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins and work in us the desire to be productive, both temporally and eternally. In Christ we pray. Amen.